This is exactly right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, Scotty, you ready?
Curdy B, I am so ready. I just have a great feeling about this episode.
Oh, are you kidding me? 100%.
Great feeling.
Well, here it is. Mm-hmm. Indian police clear a suspected Chinese spy pigeon after 8 months in bird lockup.
Oh, Curdy B, let's take those broken wings and learn to fly again and learn to live so free on a very special episode of Bananas.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, welcome to Bananas. I am Kerr Brownler.
I am Banana Boy, number two, Scotty Landis. Thank you for listening to the silliest little podcast there ever was. Everybody's welcome here. We don't care who you're smooching, who you're hugging, who you're outercoursing, or who you're intercoursing. We're just glad to have you with us for 50 to 55 minutes every week to feel happy.
I've got an exciting announcement, Scotty.
Tell me something.
If you or a loved one you know will be flying on United Airlines in April,
okay,
you can scroll on over to the comedy section and watch my comedy special, Perfectly Stupid,
no way,
on United Airlines, baby!
He did it. Damn, you're like... That's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
We've talked about how cool it would be to have anything on an airplane TV, and I am so excited. It was this dude, Steve Boyle, who just like got in touch with me on Instagram. He's like, hey man, I sell like comedy specials to airlines. Would you be interested? I love Perfectly Stupid. Would you be interested in me trying to get it on? I was like, oh yeah. And then he got in touch with 800 Pound Gorilla and they helped him out. And then it was this dude, Paul Pearson, who approved it. And I want to thank all of them, but specifically Steve, for taking the initiative to Instagram me, then email me. I missed his email. He still followed up with 800 Pound Gorilla. That was awesome. And I'm so excited.
This is the hugest thing to happen to aviation since the Wright brothers. This is massive. I'm going to book a flight. I don't even know. What are the dates? Give me the bookend.
All of April on United Airlines.
Oh, well, then I'm going to fly to our home from our Portland show. I'm going to switch our dates and fly home from the old church on. And that's like a really short flight. I'll be able to watch the exact hour of you. I'm going to be pointing. I'm going to be screaming. I'm going to be like, now this is what I call comedy on an airplane.
And because of the noise and everyone has their headphones in, they just can't hear you.
That's exactly it. Damn, dude, you really did it. I'm so pumped for you.
And of course, everyone, Portland, April 19th at the Old Church, come on out. And then May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Chicago at the Den Theater.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe with a very special guest. Don't know yet.
We might be announcing a very special guest for that Den show.
May 4th at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin. A delight. And that's an afternoon show, so
that's going to be a fun one. Like I said, I'm pushing all my chips on the table for Wisconsin to represent.
And, of course, Minneapolis at the Parkway Theater on May 5th. Cinco de Mayo, that's also an afternoon show. You know you love the afternoon shows. They are fun. Get
they
drunk in the
fun.
Middle of the day.
They're fun. Come out, you know, dress like a banana. Do whatever you want to do. We don't heckle. We build people up at our shows. So if
we sure
you have
do.
Like a moody friend that just doesn't ever like anything, bring their moody ass out. We'll turn that frown upside down.
We will turn that frown upside down. Scott, you got anything you want to share with me?
No, nothing at all. Bottom of the barrel. Another sad day in hell. No, everything's great. I grabbed coffee with Catherine McCafferty, our former guest.
Yay.
Met her in real life. Then I ran into Chloe Radcliffe, another comedian and former guest. Just ran into her, and I was like, are you Chloe? And so I'm just making, out of Zoom,
bananas guests,
real-life
friends.
Friendships, and Leah Ruddock. I'm going to go grab... I mean, I already know her, but it's just been... 2024 is a social year. I'm getting back out there.
Good job, Scotty. I believe in you. I went snowboarding for my birthday.
How
and it was a delight.
That?
It was. I just want to say thank you to you and thank you to all the Bananimals, because
okay.
I did a solo birthday trip up to the mountains by myself. I wasn't feeling too good. I was a little sick,
yeah,
but I was like, I'm going to do it anyway. And you posted that very nice thing on the Bananas Instagram, and then just so many people wished me happy birthday. I just sat and just like read them all because I was by myself, so I was looking at my phone a lot. It was a delight. It was a very, very
well,
pleasant
how,
day.
That's a good... Well, happy birthday. I hope
Thank
it's
you.
The best year of your life, and it sounds like United Airlines is making it that happen.
It's a good start.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, you know, so many people responded and threw such bananas love your way. And we got some to our emails, too. And it's, isn't it weird?
Yeah.
That how many strangers know who you are? Or, you know, they don't know you,
yeah.
but they know you exist.
It's so, it's very weird.
That's weird.
I was thinking about it as I was, like, reading people saying happy birthday to me. And I was like, this is very nice. And on a human being level...
Yeah.
Where for hundreds of thousands of years, I don't know how long humans have been around. I would say hundreds of thousands of years.
I'm sure
we've
they've been
only
around.
We've only known like 25 people, and then all of a sudden, all these people know who I am and are wishing me a happy birthday is a very,
very
strange,
fascinating. Yeah.
Fascinating thing. And
it is.
But I loved it. So thank you. I appreciate
you
it, Scott.
Got it.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Scott, well, you know what, Scott? Let's just get... I want to get right to our guest.
This is a big guest. We're pumped.
We're so excited. Our guest today is a comedian, actor, and podcaster. You can see her in Lopez vs. Lopez, iCarly, and the Black Lady Sketch Show. You can hear her on her very funny and informative podcast, Scam Goddess. She is a true delight.
Yes.
Please welcome Lacey Mosley.
Hi, thank you so much for that intro, Kurt. Scott, you guys make me feel so good. I love it.
Oh, come on. It's a great podcast.
Pleasure. It is. And we get a lot of users submitted like, hey, have this guest on. And you've come up as much as anybody. So we're just thrilled. We're giving our fans, the Bananimals, what they want. They're probably in the
Come on, Bananimals.
Yeah.
I was listening to the podcast, and I was listening to the episode with Andrew T, because I know Andrew, and
I
always
Andrew.
Like, whenever I like look, I'm like, I'm going to listen to it, I'm like looking for a friend to see like, all right, well, so let's see how they
what
do.
What a flex. Be like, let me find one of my friends on the feed.
Is the Pope on?
But you were talking about how everything is a scam. And like it was like, oh my God, everything is a scam, because you're like, everything's made up, everything is a fiction that we've all like chosen to believe in.
Yeah, I mean, that's all scams are. Laws, like, it's society deciding like, we're gonna adhere to these rules, but it's like, who made those rules up? And I wasn't in the room. I ain't gonna vote.
Yeah,
you know,
who benefits
exactly? And you were talking about the marijuana laws, like the total scam of that, right? Yeah.
because they couldn't make money off of weed, and that's why it was illegal. It wasn't because it was ruining people's health and their lives. It wasn't some kind of government protection or safety. It was like, we don't know how to tax people for this. And then they're going to be selling their funny feeling plants, and we can't get no money? That's the thing government hates the most, is not getting money. And also, yes. I know, Scotty, you were talking about listening to the episode with me and Laura Chen, who's my big sister.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking at the end about how the government was doing forfeiture and like seizing assets and stuff, they didn't give the money back to the people who were victimized and had the money stolen from them. They actually flipped $100,000 worth of Ethereum into $33 million and didn't give nobody their money back.
Holy shit.
So it's like the government is just stealing, calling it forfeiture. It's classy robbery. I do forfeitures in my spare time.
Well, that's good. I mean,
it's classy.
Isn't it strange that, you know, still most of the country you can't buy weed? And then in California, it's literally so many places where you're like, close some of these down. There are too many. We have too much weed.
And the taxes are high as hell on weed in California. Yeah. Cali's getting their money's worth. I really want to move the hell out of here. I was talking to my accountant about it because they were like, one of my friends was like, if you fly out 6 times a year and you buy a property in another state that doesn't have income tax, you can just claim that you're a resident. And so I was like, ooh, that sounds spicy and sexy. So then I asked
where would you go?
Like Delaware?
Oh, nah, bro. I'm going to Washington State.
Washington State. That's easy. Seattle, baby. Nice.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to just go to Washington State. And I talked to my accountant about this seriously. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I love my accountant. He's really good at his job, so I can't leave him. But he's not sweaty enough for me. I'm like, I want to break laws. I want you constantly looking over your shoulder. I want a Better Call Saul accountant. Let's do crime. I want offshore bank accounts.
And
he was like, yeah, well, the problem is if you do that, you really do have to live there. And I was like, why? I just need 6 flights. That's what I've been told. And he was like, yeah, you know how they're going to get you with the IRS? And I said, how? He was like, they'll check your phone records. And if you have too many incoming and outgoming calls from California, they know you don't really live in Washington.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
The IRS is petty.
They are. But I'm glad to hear you say all of this. I'm going to email you after we record this because what you just described and wanting there, I have a character in a pilot that is exactly that you might just be the perfect person for.
Ooh,
I'm glad to hear you that you wanted a rule-bending accountant, because that's exactly what I'm talking about. Also, you started Scam Goddess about 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, almost
five. Same with us. Bananas is about 4 years.
2020.
Right,
we started ours in 2020. I think yours is 2019, right?
Yeah. Y'all been around. Yeah, we've both been around. Yeah.
So when we started, you know, ours is a strange news podcast around the world, but you have the same thing in that it's like when we started, we were like, okay, will there be enough strange news? And then within 2 weeks of releasing, we get sent so much strange news that we're like, oh, this is an endless thing. It must have been the same with scams. Like, it must have been like, how many of these can I do? And then it's just like all your users or our listeners are just sending you scams all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's also a fundamental change that's happened in the universe where during the pandemic, everyone collectively started realizing how much was made up and how much of productivity and like driving to work and having water cooler combo and shit like wasn't necessary. Like the world didn't stop when you couldn't go to work anymore. Like you just got on Zoom, or if you weren't privileged enough to be on Zoom, you were in the hospital. Shout out to the healthcare workers because y'all been in the trenches.
Shout out.
Shout out to the teachers. Like, you know what I mean? So not everybody got that break, but for those of us who did, we started looking around like, oh, maybe we're doing this wrong. Because I remember when the rivers in like Italy started clearing up and like animals started coming outside, plants were growing again. I was like, oh, wow.
The sky in LA was so blue for that like 1 week where industry shut down.
You could get to Malibu in 15 minutes.
It's like, this is how it's all supposed to work.
I know. It's really so very true.
But I think everyone started realizing it's a scam. So like, everything's made up, let's start making up our own shit too. I feel like that's why crypto was such a huge boom, was millennials were like, okay, if the stock market is super saturated, we're gonna make up our own money and our monkey photos and we're gonna make our own things.
Or that GameStop thing was the same thing, where it's like, that's all these guys do, they scam this, so we're gonna scam it,
let's get on Reddit and short the fuck out of it, like, you know, like things like that. Everyone has started to realize like shit is fake, and so everyone is now, I feel like, collectively doing more scams because they're like, is this a scam? Let's talk about it. Is it ethical?
Yeah. Am I getting away with it? That's fine. If you're getting away with it, you're fine.
So just this, like, y'all have a lot of weird news stories, there's always going to be a lot of weird scams. Yep. Yeah.
This is, and this is one I just got recently, which was, I don't even know, I still don't know how they did it, which was they called me and said they were from my credit card company, and that someone had opened a credit card account in my name. I said, okay, I'll call you back, because I'm like, I'm not going to talk to you. So I hung up on them. Went on the website, and I looked up the Chase Visa number, and I called it, and it was, and I, and it was a new person. It had a whole menu that I went through and had to press a bunch of numbers to get to the person to say fraud. And then I said it, and it was them. It was them. Like, they're like, yeah, there's been fraud on your account. And I was like, oh, and I was about to give them some like critical information. Mm-hmm. And my wife goes, what is this? She goes, hang up right now. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just hung up.
Yes, ma'am.
And then
that
I just,
is a wife.
That, isn't that, yeah, right? Yeah, and then I emailed them and told them the number that I called. They're like, this isn't our phone number. And you don't have, no one has opened up an account on your name. This is a scam. So they somehow have a website that looks like a Chase Bank website that has a fake number on it that like pops up before the actual Chase Bank website, which is so fucking crazy.
And that's a symptom of capitalism, because Google will let anybody buy like space on those O's so that you pop up before somebody else.
Yes.
And like, that's wild to me, because I've seen the ones where they clone real numbers, like they clone the Social Security hotline, they clone all that stuff and call you. And then if you hang up and call back for the real number, it's the real people. But this one is a combo. Ooh, this is good. Oh, because, oh, Kurt, because they're buying the ad space on Google so that you're, that's the first thing that you see. And then you feel more confident giving them your information.
Of course.
But I always say that like banks, like they talk to you like a suspicious girlfriend who knows you're cheating. You coming home too late. You smell like perfume. Where you get that glitter? Why is that, what's that on your collar?
I like glitter, honey. I just like it. I run through it in the park. I throw it in the air and I run through it with my face to the sky.
You know I hang out at Joanne's fabric. What do you mean?
The only thing I'm guilty of kissing is a bunch of Joanne's fabrics.
Who's Joanne?
Sir, unhand those fabrics. Like, you're banned. But yeah, they'll treat you like a disgruntled, like, you know, girlfriend or wife. Or they're not going to like ask for your information like that. They know your information. So it's when they're like, oh, give us your social, and then also give us your credit card. It's like, why are you asking for so much of my information to verify?
Yeah.
You already know it. You should already know it. So yeah, I'm glad that your wife was like, hang up on those people. But also, y'all, check those Google O's, because they do that with fast food restaurants now too. If you're old school and like you like to call a restaurant that has actual delivery instead of like an app like Postmates or Grubhub or whatever, if you go old school and you're just like going to the actual restaurant website and ordering food, a lot of times now people are buying AdSense on Google to clone that restaurant website so that they're the first one you click on, and then they charge you.
Yeah. It's like drop shipping or something.
And if you you look at the address, it'll say like McDonald's, but then it'll be like McDonald's.somethingelse.com. Mm-hmm. And it looks, but if you look at it quickly, it just looks like McDonald's.com. That's
read
so
the
crazy.
URLs.
That's man.
Right. And then the day that they were like, hey, should we have Lacey on? I was like, yeah. And then I saw this. Have you seen this?
Beware of scammers on this corner. Do not give money.
This is on Franklin Boulevard in LA. It says, beware of scammers on this corner. Do not give them money. And it's like somebody got scammed and they were like, I'm not having it anymore. So they printed signs and just nailed them to this phone.
That is such big hater energy.
It is. It really
I love it. You went to Kinko's. You had so much hate in your heart.
How
and it's not just a regular
them?
Sign. Scotty, this sign... It's in red ink.
Yes.
Is it laminated?
It was.
They were like, this is rainproof. It's been raining a lot in LA. I want this to stay up.
Lacey Mosley needs to know this is happening.
I need to know why they hating on me. Yeah, I get my money on Franklin. What's up?
All right, Curdy B, give us a news story. Let's break into some bananas news.
All right, this is the news story that we're starting off with.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually posted. We posted it a while back, and a lot of bananimals had sent this in. It's Indian police clear a suspected Chinese spy pigeon. After 8 months in bird lockup.
Ooh.
And I just felt like so many people had sent this in. It's a great story. But it's pretty much
the prison industrial complex is out of hand. We're talking about birds.
I hope it's a little jail. I hope it's
little
a
baby
very
bird cuffs.
Little tiny jail cell. But I'm, you know, basically what the story is very simple, and I'm not actually going to get into it because I've
fine.
It was a courier pigeon from Taiwan, and that's they locked this bird up for 8 months, and now the bird is free. But my question was, is like, how many different animals have been used as spies? Because we know about beluga whales. Russia uses them. Because we did a story
dolphins.
About that. We know dolphins have been used as spies. And I was like, what are the other ones? So I found this article. This was in spyscape.com, which is definitely
a real
website.
Sounds so real.
100% real.
It's called 10 times the CIA used animals for secret spy operations.
Now we're cooking.
And interestingly enough, like four of these are like machines built to look like animals. So I'm not going to do those. But the first animal that they cover, which is amazing, is Operation Acoustic Kitty, which is actually the name of it. It was in the 1960s when CIA operatives wanted to bug an Asian head of state. Headquarters thought about the cats wandering in and out of the meeting area. Why not wire a feline field agent with an ear microphone and skull transmitter? The techies produced a 3/4-inch transmitter to embed in the loose skin at the base of the cat's skull. A microphone was placed in the ear canal and an antenna woven into the cat's long fur. According to the Wizards of Langley, the tail was used as the antenna.
Yeah,
boom, there
it
is.
Tail, yeah.
Getting Acoustic Kitty to follow orders was another matter.
That's what I was about to say. Cats are not good employees. They are the worst employees.
Also,
cats are like, I do what I want. I work my own hours. What do you mean?
Also, when like just a strange cat shows up inside of like headquarters, no one's going to be like, or maybe there's just constant cats coming in and out in the 60s.
But I just also feel like a cat would really like cats are petty too. So you've already put something in this animal's back. You're disrupting this animal's body and the cat's already mad. So I feel like if the cat heard like the crime, like I bet you like the guy was like, and so this is the crime we're going to do. And this is how we're going to do it. And the cat's like, meow, 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 all over it. So you can't even hear it. Just petty.
Or is he just starts, he starts petting the cat while telling like the details and you just hear like,
it's like the code to the safe is.
We're gonna need a second cat.
So this failed. So this one failed. It was
never. Yeah, we knew that was gonna fail.
I'll go through a couple others.
Sure.
There's a spy hawk classic. Of course, there's a spy hawk.
Cool.
This was after World War I. They got a little camera on a hawk and they were using it. They would release the bird by boat in the Baltic Sea, I guess, and it would fly through the canals of Denmark and Sweden where the Soviets closely monitored boat movements. And then they ditched
Sounds
the
smart.
Project because, again, it's a bird just flying
I
around.
I feel like these people were in the wrong profession. These are Disney animators who somehow started working for the CIA and were like, what if we got a hawk? And we like you should be writing Game of Thrones, baby. You want to make ravens. You want to do, like, you should not be working for the CIA.
There were, just like they just went down one slightly wrong path somewhere in their life.
They're like, you remember in Cinderella where the birds like started cleaning the house? Let's do that, but for CIA spyness subterfuge. Y'all with me? Nobody's
How
looking
will
at me
pay
weird.
For this, we'll secretly take tax dollars from people, and we're gonna make the birds, the animated birds. Yeah, but we're gonna
going to find real ones, and we're going to teach them how to fold sheets, but in Russia. Oh, good.
This is also pissing me off because I give way too much of my money to the government, and to know that people were just like, what if we did government birds? No, what? Give me my money back. Give me my money back. You're not helping the poor. You're not helping the homeless. The education is in the shitter. We don't make anything anymore in America. But we make it birds so we can spy on people. Be serious. Yes. That's goofy.
Also, how big were microphones back then? And how big were cameras? What, that hawk probably had a camcorder taped to its chest.
I know. Think of a 1960s black and white camera just hanging from a hawk's chest.
Cameras in 2005 were pretty big.
We also have to teach the hawk how to rotate the thing on the side so he can get the footage.
Zooming too much. This stupid fucking bird is zooming all the time.
You know, I'll just think of a bird with like a flat screen on its back.
We all knew exactly what those microfiche cameras looked like. Those little tic-tac boxes. They were just going chick-chick because it was in every single spy movie.
Oh, yes.
I wonder if that actually ever existed or if that was made up by James Bond.
I would like one of those.
I would love one of those just to photograph things on my desk. Mm-hmm. Another one was a dead drop rat. So they used birds. They had odd birds. They had couriers for pigeons. They had ravens.
Tons of birds.
But this one's very interesting. This was used for spies in Russia. It was a dead drop rat. So they would take a dead rat and hollow its body out and then put the secret messages inside the body. So then if like they had someone who was like a spy, they would like leave the rat just in a public place because nobody wants to touch a dead rat. And then like the spy would come pick up the dead rat and get the message. I mean, like that is pretty good.
That's good.
Also, very shady to Russia because they're like, they got so many rats in Russia.
it's rat infested.
Nobody will even think a thing if we put it in the rat. Also, I feel like an alive rat would be good. I was talking to Danielle Pinnock on an episode because like there's a big rat infestation that happened in Paris, and then also there were floods in New York City. You know, they're a big rat town. Like, that's the rats are the landlords.
Rat. Okay.
You got to pay your rat rent. You know who owns New York. It's the rats. 100%. Ratatouille and his cousins. Okay. They're the mob. But when it was flooding in New York, everybody was like, oh, this might be good because maybe it'll drown the rats and then we won't have as many rats. Mm-hmm. And then I Googled and there was a scientific study that they put a rat and they put some rats in some water for like 15 minutes and then they took them out because when they started to drown, and then they put them back in the water and they swam for almost 3 days. Rats are like Michael Phelps. They're like, oh yeah, we in here. They floating around having a good time. So everybody thought in New York when it was flooding, like, oh, we'll get rid of the rats. The rats are like, oh, we had a water park, Six Flags.
I love it that New Yorkers were like, oh, perfect, no problem. This has a silver lining. It'll kill the rats.
And the rats were like, this is so fun. We had the beach. So rats are good employees. I feel like the rats could have been alive. I feel like the cat, bad employee. Even a live rat with an earpiece, that rat would got all the information. It would have got everything. Okay? We'd have the launch codes. We'd have everything.
Sometimes mice and rats too feel like you see them out of the corner of your eye. When I was living in Brooklyn, I was like sitting there by myself and I saw something move and I was like, was that a mouse? And I stood there for like 15 minutes in my own living room just being like, did I see a mouse? It was like I had a ghost. It was fantastic. So they're basically natural spies. They go hole to hole. They kind of move in the darkness and along the walls. What I'm saying is all rats. I'm pro all rats being spies for the United States.
I vote for the rats. Yeah. I think the rats are the ones who should be doing the job. And they're hard workers. No one works harder than a rat.
No,
okay?
No. You've
they're
seen
up
Pizza
all
Rat.
Day, all night.
You've seen Pizza Rat. They work hard.
Well, we did the story about the landmine rat that retired and had found like so many landmines, they gave it a Medal of Honor because this thing would just do it for rewards. They would just give it like cheese or crackers or peanuts or whatever, and it would run out, find one, stand by it. They would clear a landmine, they would give it food, and it was like, next, and they just had little, they would clear entire fields, and they wore little suits, little vests. It was amazing.
It was little bomb suits. It's pretty great. Yeah, they did.
The rest says, say less. Y'all got cheeses?
Yeah, you got Skittles?
I'll find every bomb. Don't worry about that.
I'll do this. This is the last one here.
Okay.
Because it's something to worry about for the future.
No, we need to worry more.
Yeah, yeah. The woolly mammoth. So this is fascinating. So, Lacey, do you know that they're bringing back the woolly mammoth?
How do you reboot extinct animal?
So they use DNA frozen in ice. And they put it in an elephant egg, and they've actually have like a working like woolly mammoth, like
so
whatever
to have a Frank inseminated. And
Woolly. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So Frank and Woolies are coming back, and the CIA is one of the biggest investors. So here it is. What does the future hold? In between investing heavily in the metaverse and experimenting with AR, it seems the CIA is also looking at abstract methods to prevent animals from dying out. I don't think that's why they're doing it. No. "Quote unquote de-extinction," as it is known, right, involves scientists attempting to genetically clone ancient DNA to resurrect species like the woolly mammoth. The CIA's venture capital firm, the CIA has a venture capital firm, which is crazy, called InQtel, is investing in Colossal Biosciences. Why? InQtel said it is about staying on top of the technology. Quote, "We now sit at a pivotal point in history where transnational issues, pandemics, climate change, population growth, human migration, intersect with nation-to-nation competition that will increase the potential for global conflict in coming decades." That doesn't say why they
want
to bring a woolly mammoth back.
Yeah, we just got debriefed, and we're all so stupid. We're like, all right, let's do it. You know what? Fuck it. Let's do it.
Let's confuse the stupids. You know, habeas corpus, cell division, that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. Y'all know the one. they just said a lot of words at us, and we were like, okay, so many words.
All right, I get it. Get a woolly mammoth back. Fine. Just stop using your words.
I want to ride one. Fine. That's pretty great.
No, I don't like that. Also, see, that's my testament to we're giving the government too much money. y'all don't need to be doing stuff like this. We want infrastructure. We want affordable housing. We want y'all to stop price gouging. Fight the egg market. Why are they setting prices? Isn't that illegal? Get help us. But they're like, nah, woolly mammoth is what y'all need.
Can you imagine how big the microphone would be on a woolly mammoth?
Just one dude in the back. He's like, they got little ears, but they got big tusks. We put a lot of microphones on them.
That's where we're headed.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Give me another one, Scotty.
Here's a fun one. She Eats Around sent this in. Thank you so much. This was NBCLosAngeles.com. Bailey Miller, who is the best in the business. Stowaway flies from Denmark to LAX without a passport or boarding pass.
What? In the wheel well?
I wish. Right in the main cabin, Curdy B.
Wow.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. A criminal complaint filed against a Russian-speaking stowaway who flew from Denmark to Los Angeles without a passport, visa, or plane ticket provides details around a bizarre series of events during and after the flight.
Okay.
Sergei Ochigava arrived at LAX around 1 p.m. on November 4th on Scandinavian Airlines, a flight that took off from Copenhagen. But at Customs and Border Protection checkpoint, officers discovered Ochigava was not listed as a passenger on the flight manifest. When Ochigava was
manifest, like that TV show where all the people disappeared and went in the sky and whatnot.
Yeah, it's real. It's 100% real.
It was real the whole time. It was a documentary
the whole time.
That was true crime. That was real. When Ochigava was asked for his passport, he was unable to provide it and initially told officials he left it behind on the airplane, according to a criminal complaint. A search of the CBP database, which contains a list of everyone booked on all flights to the United States.
Terrifying.
Comforting. Very comforting. Did not have Ochigava's name anywhere in the system. When asked how he boarded the flight, he claimed to have not slept in 3 days and was confused about what was going on. So he's not a mastermind, or he is.
Oh, Ochigawa got good vibes. Somebody who can get past that many people at the airport, because everybody's mad at the airport. Nobody is happy there.
Yes.
You know? They're getting drunk at 8 a.m. They're angry. The flight attendants, they got to fight you and know how to punch people in the throat and also how to give CPR and land a slide. And everyone's mad. So if he got past that many people, he got vibes.
Yes.
I don't know
cool
how he's doing
for
it.
Sure.
We need to study him. We need to actually just take him in for observation.
Yes, we need to put those like green screen cap motion sensors all over him. And be like,
I want him in pill form. Let go of the mammoth CIA. Let's study this man and put him in pill form.
Let's all swallow Sergei Otsugaba. He did not have his name anywhere in the system. Oh, he said, yeah, he was confused about what was going on. Otsugaba stated he couldn't remember how he got on the plane in Copenhagen and would not explain what he was doing in Denmark either.
What?
Pretty wild. Crew members. See, this is what's interesting. Crew members on the flight SK931 made note of the stowaway as he wandered around the plane, changing his seats throughout the trip. So you're so scared. If you're over the ocean and somebody's doing this, so scary. Unless he's attractive. Then you're kind of okay with
he's
it.
He's got to be. Because no one tackled him. They didn't do a citizen's flight attendant arrest. They were like, he's sexy, but he's strange.
He has penetrating eyes.
Yes.
We want to fuck him. We want to put him in prison.
Oh, I hope he sits next to me. My wife is asleep next to me. I hope he sits his ass down next to me. Where are you from? You can't remember? How mysterious and exotic is this guy?
He's not going to reveal. He's not going to reveal how he got on an international flight.
No, but according to the flight crew, this is where we really start to realize this guy did know what was going on. According to the flight crew, Otsugaba asked for two meals during each meal service. So he's just doubling down on meals. And
that's
even
bold.
Attempted...
A stowaway being like, why don't you bring another one of these around for me?
Double down. That actually just reminded me of a story. I got to write a note. So not only did he order for two meals during both meal services, he attempted to eat the chocolate that belonged to the crew members.
Wait, what?
Which is great.
Now, also, that's only something that happens on Scandinavian Air.
I love this.
Where there's only crew member chocolate.
He's floated around to where, you know, the flight attendants are warming up the first class meals or whatever. He in there like, oh, give me a butter knife. I'm going to help y'all out. Like,
yeah.
Oh, is that chocolate? I want some. Let me get a taste. Like, he's fully on this flight having a time. Like, he's everywhere.
Yeah, though.
He in the cockpit. Like, let me hold it for a little bit.
And he's just so attractive. Everyone's like, no. Okay. Go
he's
ahead.
He's on the mic. He's like, we're now approaching 35,000 feet.
Well,
everybody's just cool with
Kit Kats. Yeah, he's just so good looking. Everybody's like, do you want to start at that end of the Snickers and I'll start at my end? We'll just see what happens. A Scandinavian airline station manager confirmed that he was not on the manifest. And when a head count was done, there was a plus one on the passenger load. So they knew.
Plus one on a plane is crazy. But honestly, planes are getting scarier. I feel like every other week we're hearing about Boeing. Boeing, get your shit together. Why y'all got wheels flying off? Why y'all got doors flying off? What's going on? That's not stuff that's supposed to happen on the plane. They like
Now it's like a new thing that I have to do when I book a fucking flight is look at the equipment that it's flying on and be like, what number Boeing's flight? Like I don't want to have to
what
do
brand
that.
Of Boeing is this? This is a 747. What is this?
It used to just be like airplane safe. Now it's not.
No. And it used to be, remember when Sully Burger happened? And the birds flew into the plane and people sued him. They sued the airline too. Like, even though he landed the plane safely and everybody was like, oh, a hero. And then they made the movie after him or whatever. But that was such a huge news story. Now the news cycle goes so fast that they'd be like, oh, the like the front of the plane flew off in the middle and everybody had to hold on till we landed. And at JFK. Exactly. And it's like, why is that in the news for one day? And Sully Burger was in the news for like 3 weeks. And that was an act of God. That was force majeure when those birds flew in. But now the planes are just falling apart. And we're like, we still got to get on them.
And then every once in a while, articles will come out where it's just like the number of near misses of aircraft on runways is astronomically increased. And you're just like, what? What are we? What?
I think everybody is stressed out. I think ignoring the pandemic, like now we're starting to see the human error pop out in every single thing. Because there's no reason that the plane should be getting recalls like your car. I remember I had a Ford Focus and I learned at the dealership it was a lemon. Unless they sponsor y'all show and then we love Ford Focus.
Nah.
But I would get like letters in the mail like, hey girl, bring your car in because the door might fly off. We got a door flying off situation. But it's a car, so you're like, like, oh well, cars like this spot. The cars are blowing up a little bit in the parking lots or whatever. We got a blowing up situation.
just bring it in. Bit of blowing up.
Bring it in so we can make sure yours not gonna blow up. That's all.
Spend a little gasket. It takes 15 minutes, but if you don't, it might blow up a little bit when you're Trader Joe's. Just it might blow up a little bit.
We just don't want you to be blowing up in it. So just bring it on over and we'll fix it real quick. And now the planes are doing that. Now the planes are having blowing up situations.
That's right. We need to don't sit in 4D.
Do you love a window seat? Yeah, you should change to the aisle because we have window issues.
That kind of feels what it feels like. Are you a window or an aisle flyer?
You know what's so bad about this?
You're middle.
One's a middle.
You're right in the aisle.
What kind of kink do you think I have to be a middle? You want me to sit in front in the middle of people's families and they're like, oh, can we switch? And I'm like, no. I am a window girly. Especially like I'm telling on myself, but like first class flights, like window, you're away from everybody. Like you get your bed, but you're away, you're in the corner. But even if I'm like flying, you know, business or coach or whatever. Window, I can lean my head on the window. Mm-hmm. I like the comfort. And then when I found out the windows were flying off planes, this is how sick I am down bad in America. I was like, well, I'm still gonna have to sit in the window seat.
I'll keep my seatbelt on.
Yeah, I'll keep my seatbelt on the whole time so I don't fly out.
That's what I think about now when I fly. I'm just like, well, I guess I'll keep my seatbelt on in case.
I mean, that's what I think about when I go to movie theaters. I had a guy. Okay, I was with a friend at a movie theater and. We're getting our tickets on the little, you know, whatever type in StubHubby thing.
Yeah, the fecal screen. Yeah.
Yes, the fecal screen. Where everyone has just vigorously rubbed their taint and then touched the screen.
Yeah.
And not washed their hands.
I'm so ready to see Wish.
And, you know, Nikki Kidman gonna be in there telling us we bringing movies back in a place like this. You know, we're ready. And so we were typing in like our seats or whatever. And we were looking and we were like, okay, well, if we're gonna get these seats, like we should get, you know how people usually like in a movie theater, like not the neck breakers, not the front rows where you have to look up at the screen, not all the way in the back, but like the middle center is really like a sweet spot for watching.
Yeah, that's great.
And we were like, yeah, we got to do middle center. And we were like, oh my God, we're glad that they still have middle centers available because that way, if the shooter come in, we can dip out on either side. So when he come in and he starts shooting at us, can go to the left and to the right. We can crawl either way. And we're having this serious conversation just being like, yeah, so if we right here, then if he come in, it's like, bra-ka-ka, we can just crawl this way. If he come in like this way, like, blah-blah-blah, like we good. And the person behind us looked at us like, you fucking ghouls. Like, what is wrong with you? Me. But I'm like, we live in America. We got to prepare for the plane doors flying off. We got to prepare for a plus one on the plane, and we got to prepare for the shooter go come into the movie, and we got to run.
I buy an extra large bucket of popcorn and put a baseball hat on it and sit it next to me so they take a shot at him first, and then I'm out of there. I do it every time.
You yell, Jeremy, and then you run.
No, he was so smart and talented.
He was so deep. Could you see... really making it. Oh man, he wanted to go to Yale.
Yeah, he was born with a cleft palate, but now he's done so well in this
world. He got over it. He really has a lot of confidence. I was so proud of him. Oh, Jeremy.
Keep shooting at him, though.
I'm starting a charity, Your Honor, Jeremy.
Jeremy,
okay?
No.
For the kids.
The Dodgers.
Jeremy, love the kids. Oh.
Oh, man. I guess I'll eat his goobers as I crawl out of this firing zone. Anyways, the 46-year-old, gorgeous or Sergey, was charged. He's in federal custody and he's expected in court. Blah 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 blah. Didn't
Mystery
hear back late.
Man.
Yeah, pretty fascinating that you can just do this. I was pitching a movie. I'd written the script. And it was with Flew LaBorg, who, Lacey, do you know Flew? He's a really funny guy. He's a German comedian. And
no, I don't know him.
I bet you'd recognize him from stuff. Okay. Kurtz worked with him. And Flew and I'd written a movie for him that was kind of a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles movie. And one element was that he says, you know, I left my passport, but I flew here on a plane. And
this one executive was giving us notes and was such a dick, like just a major asshole. And he was like, this is impossible. And then his like right hand was, she was like, this is just, it blows up the logic of the whole movie. And Flula, God bless him, was like, no, I did that. That's based on a true thing. And it's true. He really did. He forgot his passport once at the airport flying back from Europe and was able to convince them, because he used to have a big YouTube presence and was online a lot, that he was who he said he was by showing them a lot of stuff on his phone. And they let him, they gave him like a temporary flight thing, and they let him fly without a passport.
That's crazy.
And I love that.
So good. I was
also
like,
love that that executive dick guy was definitely a scammer. There's some executives in Hollywood, I would say most. Although I love you all, keep buying my shit.
Caster.
You're all my favorites. Keep buying my shit. You're so smart. Ooh, you're so creative. but like, there's some people who just like shit on stuff because they have to have an opinion so that they can be valuable.
Exactly.
So it's like, even if I don't know what I'm talking about, I gotta be talking.
Yeah, and you know what she said? She was like, oh, that's great. Like, as soon as it was real, it's like, oh, cool, I learned something. I'm not going to make this movie, but I don't know how to say sorry.
They had to pivot hard.
Speaking of planes, trains, and automobiles, I was excited. It was like during Christmas, and we were like watching Christmas movies with my kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, planes, trains, and automobiles. We've never watched that, right? And so we start watching, and I'm like, well, this is like, it's not, they're a little young for it and everything. My kids are 6 and 4. Mm. And then I was like, but there's this, because I saw it as a kid. And so I remember this one scene that I thought was very, very funny, where they're like sleeping together. And then he's like, he's like, where are your hands? And he's like, between two pillows. Those aren't pillows. Right? So we watched that scene because I was like, well, this is a funny scene. And then we watch it, and then it ends. And I like turn over to them. And then Olive, who's 6, was just like, what? Well, where was his hand?
Lauren, get over here. It's a teachable moment coming up.
And then I realized that I always had assumed that it was between his butt cheeks.
Yeah.
But it was probably just between his legs. And so that's what I said. I said it was between his legs. And she's like, well, that's not very funny. And then I was like, if it was his butt cheeks, that would be pretty funny.
I love
you being such a dad. The dads are always going to introduce the kids to chaos and be like, this is what I do. I'm your dad. I might kill you, but I love you. You know, get on my shoulders. Let's run through the park. This isn't smart, but we're doing it. I'm your dad.
We're doing it.
It'll be in a film class when she's in college in 20 years or in 15 years, and she'll be like, oh, this is my favorite part. Watch this joke. It'll come back around. You planted the right
button. It'll spin the block. And as a kid, you got to see some stuff as a kid that you're like, why was I watching that?
Yeah,
and I was like,
I remember seeing, Aliens when I was like 12, and then just being so scared for just years afterwards. And I was like, was it worth it? Was that worth it?
When I was a kid, I was scared of moving to California for a little bit. I think that's why I went to New York first, because I watched Boys in the Hood. And then when they shot Ricky like that, I was like, they murdering everybody in California.
I can't go there.
And I was just a kid, and I was like, they murdering everybody over there. This seems like a bad place. I like the palm trees, but everybody's getting murdered.
They just drive by. They don't even stop to shoot you. That's scary. Curdy B, you got another one for us?
Let's get one more in. Let's get one more in before we leave.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you choose, Lacey. Do you want to hear about Japan's Naked Man Festival, or do you want to hear about the man who made his Chewbacca suit out of 45 hair extensions?
Ooh, those are tough.
I mean, we've been talking about animals this whole time, so I kind of want to know what the Chewbacca situation is.
All right, here it is.
Our new woolly mammoth?
This was in the BBC.
That's real.
And the title is real. I made my Star Wars Chewbacca suit from 45 bags of hair extensions. And
is it a white dude?
100%.
You know it's a white dude. 100%. You know how much hair extensions cost? I'm not using that on a suit. That's going in my weave. What do you
Well,
mean?
That's what I'm thinking is this guy walks in, he buys it. Everybody must have been like looking at each other like, okay, I wonder what this creep's up to.
And it is. And the suit is, I mean, it's very good. It looks very good. But this was written by Angie Brown, BBC Scotland, Edinburgh. It's a guy who lives in Scotland. So here it is. Cosplayers often go to painstaking lengths to look like their favorite characters from science fiction and fantasy. But one man has taken his dedication to a new and very hairy level. Mm-hmm. Paul Smith has become an expert at making the Chewbacca costumes he wears at conventions across the country. It takes him 300 hours.
Okay.
And 45 bags of hair extensions to make each suit as his home in East Lothian. The 54-year-old engineer is a self-confessed geek who has spent thousands of pounds building his collections of outfits. It includes 6 Wookiees. So six outfits, 300 hours each. What's that? 1,800 hours? 1,800 hours spent just putting, you know, just weaves into a suit.
It's passion. I mean, it's certainly...
I'm unimpressed.
He loves to do it.
I'm a part of the Ligga Bigga Tigga. I'm a child who was raised on logo. Like, come on, you doing drag and it's taking you 300 hours, baby, that workroom? We could do that Chewbacca way faster. Baby, you wasting your time. Like, I would have been on the runway, Shantae, you stay, way faster than 300 hours. Like, you playing. Be serious.
I worked on a show for Logo once where it was, I talked about this briefly, but it was two comics would hang out with a bride and a groom, or a bride and a bride, or a groom and a groom, and then they were going to roast the family at the reception. Like, they were going to do a full roast. And Logo, their budgets were so low. So I talked to a friend that was on the
big... Someone at their wedding is crazy.
So crazy. Yes. Especially the people who are paying for the wedding.
Right.
Yes. It was Ida Rodriguez and Felipe Esparza, too. It was like good comics. I was they were good comics. But I talked to a friend. They had a show. Was it called The Big Gay Sketch Show? They did have that, right?
They did.
Very much know about that show. Yes.
Yeah. And I talked to a friend that had been on that show for a season. And I was like, what was your experience with them? Because I was like, do I want to commit to this really bad budget? It was like horrible. And he goes, oh, they fired me. I was like, why? He's like, I just wasn't gay enough. I always remember, like, you got fired from Logo for not being gay enough?
And you are gay.
This seems like a easy lawsuit that I will be your lawyer. I'll go to law school right now. We're going to win this puppy.
No, he's not winning that. It's like this network is about being gay. And you not serving cunt and you must leave. That's okay? Right. Sashay
we're
away.
Sue them for everything they're worth. Here's $7,000.
HR is just playing a video of RuPaul being like, sashay away. And he knows he's fired. Okay? He doesn't.
That's their conversation.
Else.
We want to have a meeting with you and they just play it and then wave at him.
We're like, that is a good argument. I'm not objecting. Sustained. I'm sustaining this. So I can't sustain myself.
Chewbacca Man.
He's got passion.
He's got passion, but unless he's like individually fiber sewing the hair or something, like, it's not giving for me. Because you could have did that with a hot glue gun in 2.5 hours. Like, let's be serious.
So he he makes the suit out of like the same kind of like mesh that you have on a wig, you know? So it's like,
okay, so he is taking it through the mesh.
He's taking it through the mesh.
Okay, I'm a little more impressed.
So he's using the
saying.
Tool to pull it through. Okay. It goes into his like process.
So he crocheting that bitch.
Yeah, he's crocheting the hair.
That's
into
what he
it.
Says too. Yeah,
and there's just a photo of him with the. That's what he says.
He says, "I'm crocheting this bitch," and then just.
But it's with a Scottish accent, so it sounds like. All right.
I'm crocheting this bitch. That's cool,
Scotty.
That's where
the
RuPaul
Scotty
needs
jumped
to do
out.
Drag race.
Scotty.
We need to go to Scotland and do RuPaul's Drag Race in Scotland. Oh my God.
Why? Oh, that's such a great idea.
There were a lot of bananas on this last season, so bring it to Scotland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scotty, can you just give us the headline of one? So
sure,
we and then
I would
we'll
love
and
we'll, to.
And we'll let Lacey get out of here.
But also, Lacey, plug away. Let's plug some stuff before I do.
Where can people find you? Where can they listen to you?
You can listen to Scam Goddess Podcast. If you like comedy and learning about capitalism, it's my anti-capitalist manifesto, but it's funny. And you learn about a scam. You learn about lots of scams. Scam Goddess Pod, anywhere you listen to your podcast. If you want to follow me and my personal shenanigans, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I-D, Valacy on all platforms. If you want to read my book, Scam Goddess, you can pre-order it now on Hachette. It'll be out in the fall, and it's also very wild, so get into things.
That's awesome.
If you would like to grace us with your presence when your book comes out to promote it, we would love to have you back. We'd be so happy to have you back.
And do you cover stories that you've covered on the podcast in the book?
No,
all new.
Everything on the book, in the book, like every chapter, so it's a memoir, but every chapter is my life and then how it relates to a true crime story that I love.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, there's a story about me being in a shooting that I was like very casual about being in, because I was like, oh, they looking for somebody. They're not going to shoot all of us, but they got bad aim. We got to run. Like, there's stories about drug fronts I worked at, and then like real drug fronts that existed.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's just like, when you open the book, it starts with, I went missing when I was 5, LOL. Ooh,
good start.
And then you can learn how I went missing.
Oh, my God.
I didn't make it to the news, which I still feel a little disrespected about, because I was a cute child. I was 5, and I was serving. I was serving kidnap me. white van, no windows, realness, okay? Wow. But you can learn about how I went missing and then how I learned that I fell in love with scams, because I just scam people all day.
I will be reading that book, and I hope you get to do an audio book.
Go get it right now. Where can they pre-order it?
Hachette.
All right.
I'm not allowed to say any brand names, because apparently bookstores get very petty. So.
Sounds good.
That's right. All right, one for the road?
Yeah, just read it and we'll go.
You got it. Emily Fabian sent this in. Thank you, Emily. We'll cover it on the next episode of Bananas. Eavesdropping husband made over $1 million by listening to his business wife's phone calls.
I read this. It's a good one. Thank you so much, Lacey, for being here. Thank you to everyone listening. Thank you to Katie Levine, our producer. Thank you to everyone at Exactly Right. And thank you to our real human person, part intern, part part-time employee, Lisa Magid.
And happy birthday, Kurt.
Oh, thank you.
It's your birthday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh.
Bananas.
Not that moaning.
Bananas is an Exactly Right Media production.
Our producer and engineer is Katie Levine.
The catchy Bananas theme song was composed and performed by Kahan.
Artwork for Bananas was designed by Travis Millard.
And our benevolent overlords are the great Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark.
And Lisa Magid is our full human, not a robot intern.
Bananas.